Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The weekly podcast where we explore our daily anomalies, bringing to life short stories by fantastic writers never heard in audio format. A weekly mini audio book about life and befuddlement just for you. This week, we have a story from Jessica Wildfire, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is Buildings Roman and other random thoughts about my teaching. Too young, too hard, doesn't pass out candy in class, only talks about makeup and guys. Have you seen her hair? Looks like a hurricane fucked a tornado. Didn't teach me a damn thing. Wait, that's backwards. The tornado should fuck the hurricane. Now the image makes sense. Kids these days. Another student crucified me for criticizing her short story, but I'll stand by my critique. No, your main character can't wake up and realize it was all a dream. That's called a deus ex machina. Which reminds me, another student complained that I expected her to know the terms Buildings Roman. That's Bildungsroman, a story about spiritual education during someone's youth. You know, catcher in the rye. But some of them didn't. They didn't know who J.D. Salinger was. We're talking upper-level English majors, aspiring teachers and writers. Even if I don't expect them to have already read Catcher, it'd be nice if they didn't roll their eyes at me when I recommend it. But what do I know? Just the difference between Juvenalian, Horatian, and Menippine satire. It's not important at all. They all want to be like me. Sort of. They want my job, my salary. So I tell them to go write for the college newspaper, intern at magazines and publishers, write book reviews for small journals, learn how to craft query letters, start a blog, all the stuff I do. But they don't want to. Not most of them. That's fine. I teach the ones who want to learn. The rest of them give me useful fodder. Out of 20, 5 of my students follow my advice. The rest groan and moan when I make them read long essays or download a different web browser that's compatible with the program they need to use. About half my students think they know more than I do. A couple of years ago, one aspiring author sat in my office for 20 minutes, explaining to me how it was a bad idea to tailor an article to specific publications. What I'm trying to do is submit to like 50 magazines, so I've got to write in a really broad general style. Not so much. When I tried to suggest he write 3 or 4 versions of the same article, each one geared toward various content and style expectations, he looked at me like I was batshit. Another student wrote this on my evaluations. I was writing a fantasy novel with a couple of female characters. She kept insisting on me developing the women, but I didn't want to. I told her I didn't want to, so she gave me a lower grade. Unfair grader, too interested in women's lib. The official newsfeed of teachers often avoids their conflicts with students, for good reason. You can lose your job, after all. I'm not hating on students, though. I'm just telling the truth. Students are people, after all. And about a third of people are assholes. So it makes sense that about a third of students are also assholes. The mythos of education denies this fact. Every student is a diamond hidden in coal, some say. Hey, I try. Every semester I make an earnest, heartfelt attempt to find as many gleaming rocks as I can. But I also don't beat myself up over the truth. Some students don't want to learn. So why are they here? Beats me. Their parents made them. They had weird expectations about what should happen in my class. They only want a piece of paper. And so on. Some coals won't turn into diamonds for a few hundred more years. Sorry, I only get one semester with every little lump of coal. I'll polish them some, but then I've got to hand them off. Please accept my deepest apologies. Here's the best thing that ever happened. Barely a week into my creative writing class, a student barrels up to me and demands to know when they'll get to start actually writing. Silly me. I'd assigned them a handful of short stories from contemporary authors like Atwood, Marquez, you know, published authors. So I tried to point to my syllabus. You see, you're submitting your first story at the end of week 3. But this guy and his baseball cap wouldn't have it. He wanted to write now, damn it. And who was I to make him read Margaret Atwood? When I refused to alter the syllabus, he shook his head. "This is definitely going on your eval," he said, then stormed to his desk. Class hadn't even started yet, but everyone was here. Damn it, I didn't have candy to pass out. Or donuts. In my defense, I have tried candy and donuts, like 2 semesters in a row. It had 0 impact. People say they want donuts at meetings, but they don't mean that. Nobody ever eats donuts when you bring them. Trust me, I didn't skimp on donuts. I got cream-filled ones, chocolate glaze, sprinkles, the works. I woke up an entire 53 minutes early for a pastry run, and these little motherfuckers didn't touch a single one. Did they honestly hate me that much? Sad sprinkled donuts wilting in the garbage behind the English building. Once a student accused me of bullying because I called her out in class for texting. Honestly, I didn't care that she was texting, but her phone made that irritating swoosh sound every time she sent a text or tweet. So I stopped and said, "Either silence your phone or get the hell out of my classroom." She packed up her bag. On her way out, she said, "You're mean," and she went to my boss's office and filed a complaint. Fun times. In the end, I'm all for student evaluations. There are some terrible teachers out there. Some of them do nothing but show YouTube videos. Some harass students. Others never grade work. So I'm not saying get rid of student evals. I'm just saying it sure sucks when your career depends on what 60-year-old white dudes think about what a bunch of teenagers wrote on a form you gave out on the last day of the semester. It might not be the clearest portrait. Student opinions haunt those of us in the teaching profession, so it makes perfect sense that universities would sit on your evals for months. No joke, sometimes I wait 3 months before I can see the results of last semester's evaluation. That's how long they sit on some overworked data analytics person's desk before they crunch my average. In case you're wondering, I'm an A teacher. Despite all the crappy comments accumulated over the years, most think I'm doing a decent job. You think you escaped the GPA rat race after college. If you're a teacher, you don't. Gotta keep a 4.0 average if you want tenure. But really, anything above a 3.7 will do. Fall into the low threes and you start to worry. Here's the real irony of student evaluations. Research and experience show the same trend. Your last 2 weeks matter the most. That's right. It doesn't matter how awesome you were for 90% of the time. If you get visibly tired near the end, your evaluations suffer. So snort some cocaine and walk into your last class with a smile. Don't tell them anything negative. Don't try to synthesize anything or give a wrap-up speech. I tried that once and it bombed big time. Throw a party and tell them what a fantastic class they've been. If you really care, make a PowerPoint presentation of all the amazing things they've done, but keep it under 2 minutes. Play Beyoncé. That's never a bad move. Now, this is crucial. When you pass out the course evaluations, act like you don't care, but don't look too much like you don't care. Take Han Solo's advice. Just fly casual. You'll be fine. And if you're not a teacher, wipe your brow. You don't have to worry about any of this shit. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. And if you want to hear multiple stories like this multiple times per week, please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.